About the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so Jesus says here that people who believe in him will have rivers of living water flowing from their hearts. And the song that we just sang, indicated that why listen to our hearts? Why is that sentiment mentioned in that song? Well, it's because there should be something in our heart that is supposed to get out. There is something there that shows our appreciation and our love for God. So if we come to Jesus and we drink living waters, then our hearts are able to have the living waters that flow from us to others. And so when we look at ourselves, what is it that flows from us? What would people say flows from your heart? What would people say flows from your life? What do they think about you? And right now, of course, we have come to a time of year that's exciting for many. And this next week, we have Thanksgiving. It's a time of stress for a lot of people because they're getting ready to entertain family and friends. But it's also a time that we stop and think about what has happened to us and to be thankful. And certainly it's not something that we should only do once a year. And only once a year we have attitudes of thankfulness. And maybe this year and last year have been a little bit harder for people to be thankful, that it's been a little more challenging. This 2020 and 2021 have both been challenging years in lots of different ways. Yet God still wants us to overflow with thankfulness, even in rough times. And in fact, Paul mentions this many times in his letters. And he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks when things are going well for you." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So it's easy to be thankful when you feel thankful. It's easy to be thankful when things are going well, but Paul said be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Not because that's Paul's will. He says that's God's will for you. So how can we be thankful even in a year or two like we've had? Can we be people who overflow with thanksgiving? As Jordan read for you this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 17 in our lesson and look at Jesus' teaching here and this example that will help us to understand what Jesus expects of us regarding thanksgiving. In Luke chapter 17, and this is probably a familiar account for you, where there are some lepers that Jesus encountered. Luke 17, verse 11, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along through Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And so Jesus here, being on the way to Jerusalem, he's on his way, he enters this village, and these lepers encounter him. And note here that it says they stayed far away. Why are they staying far away? Because that's what's required of them in the law of Moses when they're leprous. Listen to what the law said about that in Leviticus chapter 13. And so these lepers were doing what the law required of them. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And so here, you know, the instruction for the leprous person is very clear. And this was a very disfiguring skin disease and contagious. And so the reason they would cry unclean, unclean, is because you don't want to catch that. So I think in our current situation, the last couple of years, we can have a little bit of an understanding about this. So if someone that you worked with tested positive for COVID, what are you going to do? I think I'll go over to their house. I think I'll give them a big old hug. No, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to stay away. You're not going to that person's house. You're not having that person over to your house. You're probably going to track your steps and try to figure out, when is the last time I had any contact with that person? So we're real aware of that kind of situation about, you know, social distancing and limiting interaction with people. So here in this account in Luke chapter 17, we have social distancing, don't we? The lepers are social distancing themselves from everybody else and crying out, COVID, COVID, no, crying out, unclean, unclean. And so with COVID, the person who has tested positive is supposed to live in quarantine. And so we see some parallels here, don't we? But imagine, comparing what we are supposed to do with the COVID. What are you supposed to do? I think we're told to stay away for 14 days. That was the original instruction. So imagine living that way for years. And that's what would happen with these lepers. Imagine that no one was allowed to come near you for years. You had to live alone for years. You had to stay away from in a society in a time when there's no technology. You're not having any Zoom meetings with anybody. You're not able to FaceTime or Facebook or Snapchat or tweet or whatever. You are, the picture here is these are people that are cut off from the world. And if they're on the borderline of not being cut off, they're supposed to stay cut. They're supposed to cry unclean, unclean, and stay cut off from the world. So we have to understand that that is their lives at the moment, being cut off like this. It would be very difficult. And so these 10 lepers are standing at a distance, just like they are supposed to do. They're following the law. But they're also crying out to Jesus and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So what do they understand? They understand that Jesus has the power to do something. They understand that Jesus is not just another teacher. What is Jesus going to do for me? Is he going to teach them something right now? That's not really what they want. They understand that he is not merely a good teacher or a rabbi that's teaching good things about God. They realize that he has the power to do something about their condition. And they're crying out with loud voices as they stand away from him, Master, Master, have mercy on us. And so verse 14 says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. So think about this for a moment, what Jesus did here. Jesus tells them to do something that's a little strange. Go show yourselves to the priest. Why would you go show yourself to the priest? Well, the law said you go show yourself to the priest because you have been healed from your skin disease. What is the priest going to do? Well, the priest is going to verify that you have been clean so you could be allowed to go back in society. And so back to our illustration of comparing it to our situation today, it would be like needing a couple of COVID tests to be negative before you can go back to work. You wouldn't take the test while you're still sick, right? That would not make any sense. Well, you know, once you're well, then you want to verify that you're completely well. But when you're in the thick of the sickness, you know you're not going to test negative. And so what Jesus is telling these men to do is, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest while you're still sick. Because they hadn't been healed yet. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. So that is interesting, isn't it? But the lepers don't argue with that. They do what Jesus says. And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. And so you see there's a little nuance there that they really were not prepared to go back to the priest yet because nothing had been done. But Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, okay. And as they went, they were cleansed. And so they're on their way to wherever the priest is in whatever city that they might be found. And as they are going, they are cleansed. But one of the main points here in this account is what we see here in verses 15 through 18. Verses 15 through 18. It says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, and so they're on their way to go see the priest, and so as they're on their way, they're healed, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And so here we see the reaction of this one to turn around and go back and give Jesus thanks. And so this is the main part of this account I really want to focus on, because here we have this man who praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face before Jesus and thanked him. And you can imagine the thanks and the praise that this man is offering. Because remember what we said, that this was a horrible disease that caused them to be ostracized from society. So this is going to be a big change in his life. And so he was destined to be outcast, but Jesus has restored him to society. Doesn't have to be alone anymore. Jesus has brought him back into the community. And so it's a beautiful picture of gratitude that we see here in this man. But Jesus asked this important question in verse 17, were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Where is everybody else? Jesus said, didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner and him being a Samaritan? Well, maybe they felt gratitude. Maybe they had gratitude in their hearts. But why didn't they return? That's the question that Jesus asked here. Think about this for a moment. If you could ask the other 9, if somebody, you know, some leprosy reporter encountered them after they went and showed themselves to the priest, you know, what do you think they would say as if they were interviewed? Do you think that they were excited? Are you excited that you had this disease and now you don't? Are you thankful for what it is that Jesus did? Well, yes, of course I am. But what's the problem here? The problem here, according to Jesus, is they did not express that. They did not come back to Jesus and tell him. They did not praise God for their healing. And so this is a problem that Jesus is identifying. And I want to submit to you that sometimes we think that being thankful in our hearts is just good enough. But if we do not express thankfulness, what is Jesus saying about these men? Are they not thankful? Well, I'm sure that they are. Were not 10 cleansed, were they 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? So clearly Jesus expected that the others would be like this one. So we need to express our thankfulness. And we don't do that enough. And I'm preaching to myself in this lesson. We need to show gratitude. And what does not expressing thankfulness do? It actually shows ingratitude. And this is what is happening in this scene. If you give a gift to someone and they never acknowledge it, do you think that they're thankful? Well, maybe they do feel thankful, but they didn't bother to tell you or to write you a note or to send you a text or do something. And my boys can tell you, anytime that they get something from their grandparents, what's the first thing we tell them to do? Make sure you at least text them and let them know that you got it and that you appreciate it. My dad, when he was a young preacher, he was counseling a couple that was having problems in their marriage. And he asked the husband, "When's the last time you told your wife that you love her?" And he said, "The day that we got married." And my dad thought he was kidding. And he questioned him and said, "No, I'm serious. That's the last time I told her." And my dad said, "Well, if I were her, I would have left you a long time ago." You know, the joke is that a groom on the day of the wedding tells his wife that, "Honey, I love you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." You know what kind of relationship is that? Does that show thankfulness? Does that show gratitude? Does that show love? You know, nobody in that kind of relationship would think that that is acceptable. And it's not a good foundation for a happy relationship. We understand, in a lot of different areas of our life, that we ought to express thankfulness, whether it's in a public way or private way. I know sometimes in social media, people are praising their wives and husbands, and that's good. But whether that's public or whether that's private, they need to understand the love and appreciation that they have for one another. The problem here, Jesus says, is that there's only one 10% out of this group that came back and expressed any thankfulness. Although I am so sure that given the situation that all of these men were in, that they all felt it in their heart and would have told you, "Oh yes, yeah, now that you ask, I am very grateful for that. Yes, Grandma, I did receive the money. Thank you very much for asking whether I received it." We need to express gratitude. We need to express thanksgiving. And I don't think there's any other point that you can get. You cannot miss that point here in Jesus' response to this man. I know that they were on their way to the priest, but that could have waited. You know, they're clean now. They could have delayed just a little bit, as this one did. He stopped in his tracks when he realized he was clean. He came back and he thanked Jesus and expressed his gratitude. And so they did not use what had happened to them to draw themselves closer to Jesus and give him thanks. And certainly they should have. Verse 19 says, And he said to him, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." So the one that did return to Jesus, this is something that is very much life-saving. And when you look at the way that most versions translate this, it says, "Get up and go your way, your faith has made you well." You may have a notation in your Bible that says, "Or your faith has saved you." Actually, the Greek, you know, says your faith has saved you. It doesn't say your faith has made you well, even though that's the way most translations have it. The Greek literally is "your faith has saved you." And I think that's an appropriate reading, because here are 10 people that are healed. You know, they're all well. But this man had something else, in that Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you." He's experiencing something more than what the others did, because he came back to Jesus with thanksgiving. So the application for us is that Jesus is teaching us that feeling grateful is not enough. And I know that we just sang the song "Listen to Our Hearts," and I understand the poetic license and what is being gotten across there. And that what I get from that song is that not that we're just going to not say anything and we're just going to let our hearts speak for us. The intent of that song is that we are so filled with gratitude that even our words aren't enough. And so it's not that we don't use words, it's that the words are not enough to show our love. But let's use some words. And Jesus was expecting words, and the one man gave that and the others did not. So it's not enough just to think about being thankful and hoping that everybody realizes how thankful you are. We need to tell God on a regular basis how thankful we are. We need to show our appreciation for each other in the things that we do for one another, and the things that we verbally tell one another about how thankful we are to be together in this group and to be encouraged by one another. Tell people that you are grateful for who they are and the influence that they have in your lives and what they mean to you. You know, one of the things that is always said at funerals or when somebody is sick is don't save the flowers for the funeral. In other words, don't wait till somebody is dead and gone to realize that you appreciated them and then you should have said something. Paul, in almost every letter he wrote, what does he do? He gives thanks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you know, if there was any group that Paul may not have said that with, it would have been the Corinthians. But in his letter to the Corinthians in verse 4, he says, "I give thanks to my God always for you." So even the church that was the most messed up, probably, of the ones that he wrote to, he even was able to give thanks to God. Because there were people there that were trying to serve God, and he was trying to help them do that. And you saw in the second letter to the Corinthians how they had taken his letter. They had taken it, and they had done what it is that he said to do. And I'm sure that them knowing Paul's love for them was a big influence on them. It certainly you made the letter go down a little easier when they knew how much love and appreciation he had for them. I love you, but here are some things that you need to work on. And certainly we can see how that works in our lives as well. If somebody knows how much you appreciate them and care for them, if there is ever any corrective measure that needs to be taken, you certainly have a better chance of that going well. Paul would tell others how he thanked the Lord for them. Paul could have just thought it, thinking it wasn't enough, feeling it wasn't enough. He always expressed that to others. If we don't express it, how will people know? They won't know. And what do we assume if there are no words? That they're not thankful. We might feel thanksgiving, but others will see it as ingratitude. And I know I'm risking here, you know, telling you a story that's probably on Jarrell's list of things that I've said too many times. But my grandmother told my mom once if she didn't start getting some thank you notes for the money that she gave out at Christmas and birthdays, then it was gonna stop. I wasn't the one to. But my grandmother had lots of grandkids, and she gave us money on at different times. And you know what she wanted? She wanted somebody to acknowledge that. To send a note. To call. And not the only way that she knew that we received it was for her to get the canceled check. And I'm sure we all as grandkids felt grateful. You know, Ethan got a card one time and he shook and said, "There's nothing in here but words." Because most of the time when a card comes, there was some cash or something in it. And one time he got a card that was nothing but words. Well, you know, the expectation there is something's going to be there. Well, the expectation of the one who sent it is that you appreciate it and it's acknowledged. Jesus here did something that was a lot more important than money and a birthday card. He healed somebody of something that they had no hope, and now they are cleansed. And only one came back to tell him thank you for something that was totally life-changing. So as people of God, we ought to overflow with thankfulness and tell the Lord that we're thankful to Him. One of the things that many people do at Thanksgiving is they may go around the table and everybody says something that they're thankful for. I've seen that done at times. And I think that's a good thing, but I think it's a shame that sometimes people have to think so hard about what it is that they're going to say. Well, what exactly is it that I'm thankful for? It shouldn't be that hard for us to think of something that we are thankful for, either in our spiritual life to God or in our life, in our family for each other, or our lives as brethren. Jesus has been merciful to us, and we are children of His, and we can be thankful for that every day. And we need to keep expressing praise and deep thanksgiving for that. Not only that, let's express thanksgiving for each other. So you just think about how easy it is to fall into that trap and take things for granted that have been done for us. And so that's probably a reason that we have been given so many memorials, both in the Old Testament and now what we do now in partaking of the Lord's Supper, so that we would not forget and be grateful for what Jesus has done for us. And so this is a powerful lesson, I think, one that I need to be more verbal in my thankfulness and not just hide that in my heart and hope everybody knows. Even in a year like 2020 and 2021, we have so much to be thankful for in our lives. And first and foremost is that spiritually we were destined for death. Just as these men are destined for separation, and now they don't have to be separated anymore. You know, we are destined for separation from God in eternity, but we don't have to, that doesn't have to be our destination. We don't have to be separated. It's something we can be very, very thankful for, and I hope that you are. Jesus died for us, and probably one of the most horrifying symbols of ingratitude is not to respond to that gift that Jesus has given us. And we want to make sure that we do. If we can help you in any way to respond to that invitation, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
I wander far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. I will find thy hearts of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now abundantly thankful for everything that you've blessed us with, for this time this morning, for the relationships that we have here, for the lessons that were taught, and we pray that it was all pleasing in your sight, because that is the goal. We pray that as we leave the comfort of this place, that we are still shining lights of your word, we're able to take what we hear here and apply it in our daily lives, so that we can be soldiers of Christ. We pray for those that aren't able to be with us, and we pray that whatever that reason may be, that you're able to take away that hindrance so that they can feel the encouragement that we do every time we come. And we thank you so wholeheartedly for the sacrifice of your only Son, Jesus, on the cross, so that we could even have a hope of a home in heaven with you one day. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.